Today's first scripture reading continues the saga of Moses with perhaps one of the most familiar stories in the entire Bible, the parting of the waters. Listen for the word of God. The angel of God, who had been in front of the army of Israel, moved and went to the rear. The pillar of cloud also moved until it was between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And the cloud made it dark for the Egyptians, but gave light to the people of Israel, so the armies could not come near each other all night. Moses held out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind. It blew all night and turned the sea into dry land. The water was divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with walls of water on both sides. The Egyptians pursued them and went after them into the sea with all their horses and chariots and drivers. Just before dawn, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw them into a panic. He made the wheels of their chariots get stuck so that they moved with great difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "The Lord is fighting for the Israelites against us. Let's get out of here." And the Lord said to Moses, "Hold out your hand over the sea, and the waters will come back over the Egyptians and their chariots and drivers." So Moses held out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the waters returned to their normal level. The Egyptians tried to escape from the water, but the Lord threw them into the sea. The water returned and covered the chariots, the drivers, and all the Egyptian army that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them was left. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground with walls of water on both sides. And on that day, the Lord saved the people of Israel from the Egyptians, and the Israelites saw them lying dead on the seashore. When the Israelites saw the great power with which God had defeated the Egyptians, they stood in awe of the Lord, and they had faith in the Lord and in His servant Moses. And the brief New Testament reading is taken from a passage that actually we're accustomed to hearing on Easter Sunday. The angel spoke to the women. "You must not be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised just as he said. Come here and see the place where he was laying. Go quickly now and tell his disciples he has been raised from death, and now he is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him. Remember what I have told you." Well, what a powerful mental image is created by this week's episode in the story of Moses, when God empowers Moses to be able to part the waters. Surely you've seen this episode created with dramatic cinematic visual effects. A body of water defies the laws of gravity. As if by invisible walls, the water withdraws to create a corridor for the Israelites to pass through, as if on dry ground. Perhaps you have vivid memories of the scene from the animated film of the 1990s, The Prince of Egypt. Or maybe the version you're most familiar with is Cecil B. DeMille's blockbuster from 1956, The Ten Commandments. It shows up on TV all the time. That's the one starring Charlton Heston. Or maybe you recall the scene in that 2003 comedy called Bruce Almighty, in which Jim Carrey's character is temporarily bestowed with godly powers. Testing his powers while seated in a diner, he goes Moses on a bowl of tomato soup, raising his hands to cause the soup to move to opposite sides of the bowl. Well, the story, as told in the Bible, is absolutely supernatural. It's above and beyond the laws of nature. And we want to ask, how is it possible? Did God reach beyond the laws of nature to make it happen? Can we apply science and reason to explain this phenomenon? Well, a good place to start with this story is with the location where the miracle occurred. Now, tradition says the body of water that separated was the Red Sea. But the Red Sea is not in the right place to have been involved in the Israelites' escape from where they lived in Egypt. The Hebrew words usually translated as Red Sea, they actually mean the Sea of Reeds. And the Red Sea does not support the growth of reeds. A sea of reeds, well, that sounds more like a lagoon or a marsh. And you know what? Until the building of the Suez Canal in the 1860s, there was a reedy marsh in the right location for the Hebrew exodus from Egypt into the Sinai Peninsula. If this former sea of reeds was the location, is it possible for a natural wind to have blown so strongly and steadily that it could have created a pathway through the marshland for the people to cross through to dry land on the other side? Well, yes, scientists say that it's possible. But is how it happened what's most important about this story? No. Recall the closing verse of this biblical drama. It announces the effect that this experience had on that collection of Israelite refugees escaping Egyptian enslavement. Verse 31 declares, "When the Israelites saw the great power with which the Lord had defeated the Egyptians, they stood in awe of the Lord, and they had faith in the Lord and in His servant Moses." The people of Israel came to have faith in the Lord. Why? Because God made a way for them where there was no way. They had faced the chaos of the waters before them and the vengeance of the pursuing armies behind them. And then God enabled Moses to direct the people through waters that parted before them. God led them to safety, leading them to the next step in what would become a long, challenging pilgrimage, literally a pilgrimage of faith. Our faith is built on such a deliverance too. We hear it in what amounts to an epilogue to the gospel accounts of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, one would imagine that when the gospel story presents the crucifixion of the man from Nazareth, that's the end. As the Apostles' Creed summarizes it, he was crucified, died, and was buried. Graves have one-way traffic patterns, in only. But our God is a God who makes a way where there is no way. That's what astonished the women who went early on what would become Easter morning when they went to look at the tomb of their teacher and friend. There they encountered a messenger of God telling them that the one who was dead is now alive again. The tomb was empty. Death was certain, but it was not the final word. Ours is a God of eternal life. God makes a way where there seems to be no way. There's a popular Christian song that's built on a chorus that declares, "God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me." That's our reason for hope in this life. Our reality is that each of us encounters those scary, overwhelming moments in our lives when we don't know how we'll be able to go forward. For example, employment that we thought was unshakable suddenly goes away. How will I pay the bills? Who am I without the work that I was known for? Or the anxiety of the upcoming election has us tied up in knots, worried about how our nation will find the way forward. or a scary diagnosis comes to us out of the blue? What will treatment be like? Will it succeed? How will I manage everything else? Or the grief of loss overwhelms because of the death of a spouse or a child, a parent, a partner, a friend, or yes, even the death of a beloved pet. The long history we enjoyed, the dreams of what should have been ahead, all that seems to evaporate in an instant. But the good news of the gospel, news with roots that we discovered in the Old Testament, the good news is that in our lives, God makes a way where there seems to be no way. We hear that message expressed frequently in various ways throughout the Bible. For example, God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." God will make a way. Or the prophet Isaiah heard the word of the Lord say to him, "Watch for the new thing I am going to do. It is happening already. You can see it now. I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water in the desert." God will make a way. And Paul in Romans chapter 8, "In view of all this, what can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us?" God will make a way. And we don't always know the answer. At a particular point in time, we might not be able to see the way forward. But like the Israelites as they gathered themselves in the far shore of the waters, we have faith in God because we have beheld God's awesomeness. We are in awe of God's power, in awe of God's constant care, in awe of God's commitment to make a way where we cannot see the way.